Good morning, everyone. Today, I'll be talking to you about our work that looks at exploiting similarity among file downloads in an efficient fashion in order to improve their performance. The previous talk just showed us that given a set of peers, it is possible to intelligently allocate your upload bandwidth and thereby improve our download performance. What this talk will show you is a novel technique to obtain more such sources to benefit from. So bulk data transfers represent more than 70% of today's internet traffic. These transfers are significant, but the problem is that many bulk data transfers are in fact slow. One reason could be that the receiver's bandwidth itself is saturated. That is not the focus of our work here today. But our study and some previous studies have shown that even in cases where the receiver is not bandwidth saturated, it is possible that these transfers are still slow. The reasons here could be that the sources are unable to saturate the receiver's bandwidth, or maybe the network is congested in the middle, not allowing the receivers to realize their full potential. But in both these scenarios, it is possible to improve your performance by downloading from many sources. So let's take a quick look at a typical multi-source download system. Now here, the files are broken up into several chunks, which could be fixed or variable sized. For example, file A is broken down into three chunks, 1, 2, and 3. Now, recipient can now obtain several of these chunks in parallel, thereby potentially improving her download performance. Popular examples like we just saw are systems like BitTorrent, eDonkey, ED2K, and so on. Now, here we have Alice, Bob, and Carol all serving file A, and we refer to them as identical sources. So do these multi-source downloads help improve our bulk transfer performance? To answer that question, we logged transfer speeds from behind CMU, which is a well-connected academic network, for about 6,000 large files downloaded over eDonkey and ED2K. The details of our measurements are soon to follow. So here I have a CDF of the average throughput. So the x-axis is average throughput in kilobits per second, and the y-axis is percentage of files. Well, what we find is that 90% of files have average throughput less than 50 kilobits per second. So the bulk data transfers are still slow in the presence of today's multi-source download systems. And note that this is a case where the recipient is clearly not bandwidth saturated. So we argue that available identical sources are unable to saturate the receiver. And our solution is to find more sources. So where can we find more of these sources? Clearly, systems like BitTorrent exhaust all identical sources for a file. So that's not the answer. The answer that we propose is find similar sources. And hence, we have similarity-enhanced transfers, or SET. Let's take a quick example. Here we have Alice serving file A. We refer to Alice as identical source. We don't have any other identical sources over the network. But what we have is a source, Bob, that is serving file B. Now, the interesting part is, although file B is different from file A, it shares certain chunks with file A, specifically chunk 1. Similarly, Carol is serving another file C that is different from A, but it shares chunks with file A, specifically chunk number 3. So once again, the recipient, in the absence of identical sources, can obtain many chunks in parallel and thereby improve her download performance. So having motivated the need to tap into similar sources, let me give you a roadmap of my talk today. My talk is organized around the key contributions of our work. First, we'll be looking at a similarity study that will show that similarity exists even in multimedia workloads, and sometimes can provide you a gain of up to 150 times more sources. We'll then look at technique hand printing that we propose to locate these similar sources with small and constant amount of extra state. Finally, we present the design, implementation, and the evaluation of SET, the system that uses hand printing to exploit similarity. Our results would show that SET can speed up real transfers by 30 to 70%. So let's start by looking at whether similarity exists. Prior studies have shown that lots of similarity exists in file system workloads, emails, HTML documents and web objects, operating system and application software, like RPMs, ISOs, and so on. But a key data set that we'd like to investigate is what about highly compressed multimedia files? And in fact, they form a significant fraction of today's peer-to-peer workloads. Our study tries to answer this question. To that end, we downloaded about 1.7 terabytes of multimedia files, over eDonkey and ED2K peer-to-peer networks. We did not use BitTorrent because we modified our client to not upload any chunks. And BitTorrent stit for tat does not work well in this scenario. We logged the unique IP sources in each of these cases. So our 1.7 terabytes, in fact, consists of audio and video files using popular and unpopular search terms. As you can imagine, it's not possible for us to download every file out there on the file sharing networks. So what we wanted to do is grab files that we at least expect to be similar. So to that end, what we did is we put a search on the file sharing network, and then we grabbed as many files as possible that were returned as search results. So let's look at the similarity in this workload. Our top audio file type was, in fact, MP3s. And when we considered files that had any similarity among them, we found that the median similarity was 99.6%. And one of the reasons we found was when two files are similar, they're in fact the same song, but maybe with different ID3 tags or maybe different headers. Our top video data types were AVIs and MPEGs. Now, in the AVI case, we found the median similarity of about 22%. In this case, the reason that we found was two files that are similar were in fact the same movie, but with different language tracks. For example, the English and French version of a movie. And in the MPEG case, we found a significant amount of similarity, that's about 99%. And in this case, the top reason we found was random bit flips in the middle of the files, causing just a few chunks to differ. So this table shows us that moderate to significant amounts of similarity can exist in highly compressed multimedia files. But the key question is, do these similar files provide more sources that we can actually benefit from? But before I answer that question, let me tell you how we count these sources. Say a simple example when we have two identical sources. Clearly, the number of sources we can draw our file from is 2. That's simple. But moving on to a slightly more complicated example, we have, say, 2 sources with very few shared chunks. The complication here is because of the fraction, each source only serving a fraction of the chunks and not the entire set. So in this case, we designed our counting mechanism in such a way that the number of sources is just marginally above 1. And in fact, even if we had many, many such sources where we had only 1 shared chunk, we still want our number of sources to be marginally better than 1. An interesting example here is, what if we had an identical source and one 50% similar source? Here, our counting mechanism results in number of sources of 1.33. You can quickly look at that and say, well, there could be more intelligent ways you can do this. Well, we have looked at all those ways, and they're actually in our paper. But for the duration of this talk, let's assume that we are counting sources using, as in this example, resulting in like 1.33. So let's now look at the sources that are actually found in our data set. So here on the x-axis, I have the additional sources that we get from exploiting similarity. And on the y-axis, I have percentage of files. So this is for the audio set. The first observation we can make is that we have 20% of unique objects that do not have any similarity. But the remaining files do have significant amounts of additional sources. For example, 20% of files have more than 40 to 65 times more sources. Another interesting point here is that even unpopular content exhibits significant increase in additional sources. Now, we repeated these experiments for our video files. Although we found largely similar trends, a key point to note here is that in our video files, we have smaller increase in additional sources as compared to our audio files. Now, this can be attributed to the fact that similarity was, in fact, harder to come by in our video set. For example, we have 65% unique files in our video set compared to the 20% in the audio set. Moreover, our video files were smaller in sample than our audio set. But we believe that if we did get a chance to find out to download more video files, the number of additional sources could, in fact, be comparable. Another interesting design choice here is, what is a chunking algorithm and what chunk size should we use? Because that clearly affects the amount of similarity between files and therefore the extent of additional sources. So throughout the study, we used Rabin fingerprinting that sets chunk boundaries based on file contents. And in fact, that makes it insensitive to shifting file offsets caused by insertions or deletions. We also experimented with different chunk sizes. Intuitively, as we reduce the chunk size, we're bound to get more and more similarity, and therefore more additional sources. But for this study, we chose 16 kilobytes as our chunk size because we saw that that captures most of the benefit from our data set while imposing less than 1% per chunk overhead in our implementation. So in summary, our similarity study shows that similarity exists in multimedia files, which could, even though they are highly compressed. And then we stand to benefit from the similar source, from the similarity by drawing from additional sources. Let us now look at the design of SET that exploits the similarity. So what we have over the network is identical and similar sources. And what we want to do is to be able to discover these similar sources. Let's look at a popular existing approach. So what we could do is have a mapping in some database that maps the chunks to the sources of those chunks. So say you have n chunks in a file. So we're actually talking about n mappings in some database for each of the files that we want to share. And the recipient can now look up those n chunks and then learn of all the sources and can finish the download. But how does this existing approach scale? Say you have a 700 megabyte movie with 16 kilobyte chunk size. So we're talking of the order of 45,000 chunks here. But that's not all. If we take these 45,000 mappings and actually times the number of objects in the system, we're looking at billions and billions of mappings in our database. And on the other hand, we also have these 45,000 lookups that have to be done by the receiver in order to download the file. So what we're looking at is lots of mappings and lookups in a database. Let me quickly summarize the design space for you. So on the one extreme, we have systems such as BitTorrent that do not exploit any cross-file similarity, but are highly efficient because they just require a single lookup and maybe a single mapping. On the other extreme, we have systems such as CFS and Shark that exploit every amount of similarity there is, but as we just saw, they require n lookups and n mappings, and n is not small. What our objective in the design of SET is to come up with a design that exploits cross-file similarity, but at the same time, does so using constant number of lookups and mappings. Let's see how we achieve this. Say we pick a small constant number of chunks to insert and lookup. So we have tamed our overhead. But what we want to do at the same time is maintain a high probability to finding these similar sources. So two important design questions pop up. One is, how do we pick the small constant number of chunks, and how many should this constant number be? Let me answer the bit chunks question by guiding you through an example. Say we have a target file that is trying to download a target file made up of several chunks. Each chunk is identified by a unique ID, and we call those IDs fingerprints. Say this target file is similar to another file, and the similar blocks are chunks 191 and 123. So what we want here is, as we are downloading the target file, we want to be able to discover the existence of the similar file so that we can actually draw from the similar sources. So we can say that, okay, let's select K fingerprints, and then let the sources of the similar file insert these fingerprints into a global database. Now the target file, the recipient of the target file, can look up these fingerprints, and if at all there is a collision in our database, we can say, oh, we detected similarity. Now what is one way of selecting these K fingerprints? Well, how about we just randomly sample some fingerprints from both the files? But as you can see, that even in the extreme case that when both the files are identical, the probability of a collision is 1 in n, say 1 in 45,000. So that is really small. So what we do is leverage the technique of hand printing. Let's see what hand printing does. In hand printing, we start by first sorting the fingerprints, and then we select the first K fingerprints, which we call as a handprint. In this case, once again, the similar file, the sources of the similar file insert the first K fingerprints, or a handprint, into the database. And when the target file looks up the handprint, if there is a collision, similarity is detected. So as in this example, when the recipient of the target file looks up fingerprint 123, it detects that there exists another similar file in the system it can draw from. So the advantage we get is from deterministic sampling. That is, we sort first, and then we sample. And that gives rise to a higher probability of detecting collision, and therefore a higher probability of detecting similarity. A next important question, oh, by the way, hand printing is inspired by a popular technique called shingling, which was used to detect resemblance in documents. Now, the difference here is that hand printing is used to find similar sources over the network, whereas shingling was used as a measure for similarity between files. Another important question is, how many chunks do we have? Or how many chunks do we sample? So intuitively, the probability of collision, or the probability of detecting similarity, is a function of the number of fingerprints and the similarity between the files. For example, if we want to discover files with lower and lower amounts of similarity, then we want to have more and more fingerprints in the system. So K balances detecting similarity with overhead. For example, if you want a 90% chance to find files with similarity greater than or equal to 90%, our analysis shows that you would need 2 fingerprints. And on the other hand, if you have, say, a 10% threshold of detecting, if you want a 10% threshold of detecting all the files, the number of fingerprints we need is 28. In fact, we chose for our system 10% as a threshold, and therefore 28 fingerprints. So let's look at the design of SET. So here we have Alice, an identical source, which begins by registering a mapping in a global database. So we have file A mapped to Alice, and as well as the fingerprints mapped to file A. Say another source, Bob, which is an identical source, comes along. Bob will update the database to now have A point to both Alice and Bob. Say now we have Carol, a similar source, come along. We have a new mapping in the database, so C maps to Carol, and once again our fingerprint to file mapping is updated. So note that the fingerprint 9 actually has a collision, and we would that points to 2 similar files, A and C. So let's see now a recipient comes online. The recipient would first start by obtaining a map of the file in terms of the hashes. Once it has that, what it'll do is look up the handprint, which is 9 and 90, the fingerprints in this case. And when it looks up that mapping, it will learn of the similar files, A and C. We'll then follow that up with a lookup on the files and learn of all our identical and similar sources, Alice, Bob, and Carol. At this point, the recipient can contact these sources and fetch the file. In fact, we have a full-fledged implementation of SET within data-oriented transfer, or DOT framework. And we support 2 database versions. One is a simplified, centralized implementation, but we also have an interface to OpenDHT. We also implemented a new multi-source transfer plugin that performs the actual transfer. Now, what this plugin expects is a mapping between the chunks and the sources so that it can allocate the chunks to the sources. And here we draw from literature, say we use the rarest random strategy as in bullet prime. We also implemented exchange of bitmaps to support swarming, by which I mean I can start uploading my data while I'm still downloading. So let's look at how SET performs in 2 scenarios. We have Emulab, an emulation framework, and PlanetLab, a wide area testbed. In Emulab, only the sources and the receivers are actually the bottlenecks. Now what we have is the sources and receivers plugged into this high-speed core, and we vary the source and the receiver capacity to vary the bottleneck location and the extent of bottleneck. Now, in our first experiment, we have a 10 megabyte file being downloaded by 5 downloaders and served by a single source. All the recipients and the sources have a 3 megabits per second download and a 768 kilobits per second upload, emulating a fast DSL kind of link. Now, to provide a point of comparison in all our evaluations, we also ran BitTorrent. And for each run, we report the maximum, average, and minimum across the downloaders, the download time across all the downloaders. So the first point is SET without any similarity. As you can see in this graph, we perform better than BitTorrent. But that is not the point we're trying to make. What we really want to see is how SET performs in the presence of similarity. So let's start adding similarity to the system. Say, how about a 1 10% similar source? We see that with that extent of similarity too, our download time goes down by 8%. If we now increase the number of similar sources and the extent of similarity, say 3 15% similar sources, our download time goes down by 30%. Finally, let's say we want to capture the MP3 kind of workload. We have 3 90% similar sources. Our download time is almost halved. Thus, SET successfully exploits similar sources and makes the transfers go faster. We also looked at a couple of other scenarios in this experiment. Say a high BDP, high bandwidth delay product, 9.8 megabits download and upload, 400 milliseconds RTT scenario. But as you can see in this scenario, we get minimal benefits because the receivers are already saturated by the sender. In our next experiment, we have a 10 megabyte file, once again in the fast DSL scenario. We have 1 identical source and 1 receiver, and we vary the number of similar sources. So on the x-axis, we have increasing number of 90% similar sources. As you can see, when we add more and more sources into the system, our download time continues to decrease. But the benefits only increase until receiver is saturated, and that happens at about 4 sources because our upload capacity is 1/4 of our download. We also did a symmetric case wherein we actually have no benefit coming in from similarity because the receiver is completely saturated by the sender. In this case, the point is that our download time only negligibly increases. That is, using similar sources adds minimal overhead of about 0.5% per distinct file source. So the point of this experiment is to show that even in cases where you do not stand to get benefit from similarity, SET does not hurt your performance. Let's move on to some real workloads of interest to you and me. So say we want to download a trailer 55 megabytes in size that is similar to another file of 33 megabytes in size and 47% of the similarity. Or we have a music workload with 11 megabytes original file and 11 megabytes similar file. Now these are actually some of the snapshots from our measurement study. So let's see how, and what we did is deployed this workload on PlanetLab to have realistic network conditions. The mix of nodes are picked from DSL, commercial, and a few well-connected academic nodes. So in these real workloads, in the realistic network settings, in the trailer workload, we see that SET with similarity reduces our download time by 30%. In the music workload, where we had more similarity, our download time actually reduces by 70%. So what our evaluation shows that is even modest amounts of similarity substantially improve SET's performance. We have lots more experiments in this along these lines, and I would refer you to the paper for more details. So in conclusion, our work shows that similarity exists in multimedia content and peer-to-peer networks. Our system SET exploits both identical and similar sources, and we locate these identical and similar sources using the technique of handprinting, which uses only OF1 lookups and mappings. In fact, we believe that SET's techniques would benefit many peer-to-peer systems like Koblitz, Bullet, BitTorrent. Finally, we've made SET available at the following URL, and I request you all to try it and give us your feedback. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention and take any questions.
Hi, Jacob Erickson, MIT. I was wondering, you're looking at the benefit for a single receiver, but what happens to system capacity? So let's say the senders are already saturated because they're serving someone else with their similar files. So now I come and I ask them for some capacity and it goes down for the other people. So to system capacity, do you have any estimates of how things would improve?
So that's a good question. So the exact answer to that question would only come if we had a much wider deployment and when we looked at a large swarm of things. But then what we do, what I can say is that there are still possibilities of getting benefit. For example, say you have an unpopular file that is not actually contributing its upload capacity to anybody because nobody's downloading from there. But the popular file can now actually use those sources. And as we just saw in the previous talk, if you have this unpopular file coming from a very fast source, it could actually make a huge difference to the system.
Right. So it's not now known how much this part of the improvement is.
I don't have exact numbers, but the intuition is it could definitely help system performance. In both cases, for example, when an unpopular file helps a popular file to finish faster, or maybe the vice versa could also happen, that a popular file, an unpopular file benefits from a popular swarm, which has spare upload capacity to go by. Yeah.
Thanks.
Hi, Ira Cohen from HP Labs. I was wondering if your similarity measures, if it's really that good, can be used to actually save YouTube from being shut down, since they can use this to find similar files that are being uploaded that they're not allowed to show.
Sorry, so you said YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. So could you repeat your question? So if YouTube...
Yeah, so it seems like your similarity measure is really good for finding very similar multimedia files, which is one of the biggest problems YouTube is having right now, or other video sharing or video viewing web pages. So do you have any idea whether it's really that good? Can it really find almost duplicate files that are being uploaded?
Yes. So from our workload, we actually, when we did this, when we applied hand printing to our workload, we find that we can find similar files with very good probability of success. And you actually bring up a very good data set that we'd love to look at. For example, We have YouTube, Google, MetaCafe, all these people serving files. So what about if this system goes peer-to-peer and we actually can leverage from these many versions of the files that we usually find on these sites? So yeah, our analysis shows that there is good probability of success for detecting similarity when it exists.
Ben Greenstein at Intel Research. I have two questions, actually. The first one, I have one question, actually.
I'll be sure to answer the next one when I see you.
So following on to the previous question, have you thought at all about using any information about the format in particular to look for similarity?
Yes. So actually, I would, without making huge claims, that's actually the current work that we're looking at. So if, as you can see, the trailers were, when we looked at trailers in different languages, we're getting similarity of about 20%. It seems kind of like, oh, you have all those huge video files, video data in there, shouldn't you get more similarity? And that's what piqued our interest, and we are looking at some format-specific chunking, or maybe format you can even think of as a generic chunking, but maybe something better than Rubin. So we're definitely looking at that angle. But it's kind of work in progress, really brainstorming kind of stage.